Well done, Dr. Craig. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5.
Yes.
The game on this Thursday. The college football playoff resumes tonight. Ole Miss will play Miami in the Fiesta Bowl. And to talk more about that, we say hello to Tom Luganville from ESPN. Tom, how you doing?
You guys going down to Luganville, Texas?
Yeah, we are.
That's what I hear.
Yes.
How we doing, boys?
We're doing fantastic. This should be a good one tonight, but I want to start with this. How has Ole Miss and these players been able to overcome the distraction that has surrounded them this entire postseason run with Lane leaving for LSU and having some of their assistant coaches that are going back and forth? I mean, it's pretty remarkable that they've gotten to this point having that distraction over them.
Well, it's a great reflection of what the greatest team sport ever invented is all about. And I think that what you've got with these kids is they've never worried about things they can't control. They've kept their focus on things they can control. So if it doesn't impact them and they can't control whether it impacts them, don't worry about it. Just go about your business. And, I think when you have your play caller on both sides of the ball, that helps minimize distractions because the message is the same each and every day, each and every week. And so I've been impressed. And not just in this playoff run, but you got to go back to the last 4 or 5 weeks of the regular season. And when all of this started about the rumor mill, and not one time did those kids flinch. So I've been really, really impressed with their leadership, their maturity. And like I said, worrying about what they can control, don't worry about what you can't.
Are we, because of this, going to see a point where college football or the NCAA or whoever needs to do it finally goes, all right, we got to stop this? Because I don't think that Lane's necessarily in the wrong for, advancing his career and taking a job that he thought was better. Just like I don't think it's wrong for a player to, if they feel like they can go to another school and have a better opportunity. But it's all about the timing. It should happen after the playoff. It should happen after all this. So does this make some people wake up and go, all right, we got to change this. We got to put some rules in place?
Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of layers to what you're asking there. And it's one of the reasons why this sport is the wild, wild west right now. I mean, just imagine if you ran the National Football League the way college football is run right now. It would come crumbling down within a year. The problem is the only way to stay out of court is to collectively bargain. Because the moment the NCAA right now, who has no teeth, the moment they start saying, well, no, we're going to impose this rule, we're going to impose that rule, then the players are going to lawyer up, right? And they're going to cite antitrust, and you're just going to go into this vicious cycle over and over and over again. So what we've got to do is we've got to come up with a way of collectively bargaining where the institutions and the players come together and they agree on what's accepted, what's not accepted, what are the rules, what's the governance, how is it going to be policed, what are you obligated to do when you sign a contract? Because right now we have none of that. I mean, look at what just happened at the University of Washington. And I mean, it's unbelievable with what Damon Williams just did. And there's nobody to enforce it. There's nobody to police it. There's nobody to govern it. And until we decide to collectively bargain, we're going to stay in this perpetual cycle of the wild, wild west with no rules and no guidelines and no restrictions. And unfortunately, also, there's not going to be any deterrent for any type of conduct that we're seeing right now.
It's crazy. Tom Luganville is with us on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Tom, let's talk a little football tonight. Miami taking a little miss. I can't get enough, Tom, of the Miami front seven on defense. I mean,
yeah.
You've seen them all year long. I mean, shoot that in my veins. Those guys, at the way they're playing and everything, how impressive. You've seen them all year long. This is not new to you. How impressive is that front seven for Miami?
Well, I'll tell you, guys, I was at the Cotton Bowl, standing on the sideline watching the game, and Miami should have been arrested for felony assault for what they did to Ohio State, because I have never seen an Ohio State team get their tail so physically kicked, ever. And I've done a lot of Ohio State games, and we've all watched them for years and years and years. The thing that Miami's got going for them, and it's not just the defensive front. Obviously, Reuben Bain, Akeem Mezidor, they're going to get a defensive front back tonight. But They are relishing this underdog role, right? I mean, think about the last 6 to 8 weeks. what is all the talk been about? It's not been about how talented Miami is. It's been, well, should they get in the playoff? Should Notre Dame be in the playoff? Well, Miami didn't play in the ACC championship game, so why are they in the playoff? And then when you watch them, you have to start acknowledging, holy smokes, these guys are talented. And if you look at the course of the season, the only team that's beat Miami has been Miami. When they lost to Louisville and SMU, they had a combined 6 turnovers. Everybody else, they have boat raced. And so it's the defensive front, their ability to wear you out up front, but really what gets glossed over, I think, is the offensive line is the best offensive line in college football. And if you look at them the last 2 weeks of the playoff, they have absolutely owned the fourth quarter against Texas A&M and against Ohio State on the ground. They just wear you into submission.
Oh, absolutely. That A&M game was something else, the way they were in there and just shut up 110,000 people. Tom Luganbill is with us on the Chase and Big Joe show. I just talk Ole Miss tonight, Tom. And look, Chase asked you about, you know, what's going on there and everything that's happening there. But at the core, this is a very, very good football team. And I'm not surprised they're there. And a lot of people are, which kind of befuddles me, and I don't understand why.
Well, you know, I think too much stock was put into Lane Kiffin's influence on the success of the football team. The reality of the situation is, when you watch the Georgia game last week, it wouldn't have mattered if Lane Kiffin was coaching that team or not. In fact, I could make an argument that he probably would have taken some unnecessary risks in his coaching approach that could have been a detriment in that game. Listen, they've got great players. The quarterback is an absolute difference maker. I mean, he put on a clinic of quarterback play against the University of Georgia. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the challenge tonight, is how does Miami's defensive front that we just discussed, how do they make Trinidad Chambliss play from within the pocket? Because he is at his best when things break down, when he's able to get outside, when he pulls a rabbit out of the hat, and he's using his eyes and his feet and his arm. That's where he's at his best. If Miami can limit those plays and force him to play from within the pocket, that's Miami's best opportunity, because when he gets loose, he is a handful.
Tom, if Miami wins, are you going to go to the national championship game at Hard Rock Stadium?
Oh, absolutely. I'll be working probably pregame, halftime, and postgame for ACC Network. I mean, and it's easy to sit there and say, okay, well, that's a home game for Miami, but nobody ever shows up at Miami's home games anyway.
So right.
It's really the national championship game that happens to be played in Miami, and Miami might be one of the teams.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Real quick, tomorrow night is Oregon, Indiana, and Chase and I have talked about this, Tom. We're still having a tough time wrapping in our mind that Indiana football is that dominant. And we'll get to see it again tomorrow night. What's your thoughts on Indiana and the job that Cignetti's done there?
They're the best prepared, best coached team in college football. When you look at how they play the game, and I'm going to give you two stats here. These are astounding statistical anomalies. Number one on offense, Indiana has only turned the ball over 8 times the entire year.
Wow.
The entire year. On defense, they've only had 11 penalties the entire season. Imagine that. Now think about that. 11 penalties on defense the entire year. So when you play Indiana, they just wait for you to screw it up. They're talented, but they don't give up explosive plays on defense. They don't take negative plays on offense. They don't false start. They don't jump offside. The kicking game is flawless. So what ends up happening is you have to go in and you have to play to their level of efficiency and execution, and nobody's been able to match that.
Tom Luganbill is with us from ESPN. If Indiana finishes the story, will Kirk Cignetti be kind of the best short-term legendary coach in the history of college football? And what I mean by that is, I mean, you look at all the names we all mentioned, they had long careers, and he has, but, you know, he just really came on the scene, you know, after being an assistant with Saban and others, and then, you know, his last few years at Cincinnati, all of a sudden it's like, bam. So could that put him in a kind of a hemisphere of his own?
No, absolutely. I mean, this is unprecedented. I mean, this is something that's never even come close to being accomplished by a program like Indiana and with their history. And I think, you know, with Coach Cignetti, it just further proves that there's great football coaches everywhere. Just because you take a different path to where you want to get to doesn't mean you're not worthy of a big job when it comes around. And he worked himself up steadily and earned each and every job that he got through performance and production. you could say the same thing about Pete Golding at Ole Miss. I mean, hell, he was at Delta State forever, right?
Yeah.
And then you're a good football coach. Somebody finds you, good recruiter, good evaluator of talent, and then you find yourself in the right place at the right time, and you've got yourself a magic potion.
I think it's just a great story. And Tom, also, you know, with Trinidad Chambliss coming from Division II, how many Power Four coaches are now scouring Division? I know they before they were doing it, but really now scouring Division II, Division III, NAIA for that diamond in the rough, because I think this is a great story with that young man.
It is a great story. And I think, you know, whether it's Division II, whether it's the FCS level, whether it's the Group of Five level, the smart coaches and the smart evaluators that are fishing in the transfer portal, they are going to take guys who have performed with a large sample size before they're going to take somebody who is a high-profile name coming out of high school. And so when you watch a guy and you say, well, holy smokes, this guy's won a championship. He's been a three-year starter. He's been a two-year starter. He's played at a high level. He's won a lot of football games. Okay, it might not sound flashy if you sit there and say, okay, we're going to target this guy. But if the guy is productive, he should be at the top of the list. That's where Kurt Cignetti got it right. You know, people don't realize that Curtis Rourke, you know, when he took him out of Ohio, they had won back-to-back 10-win seasons. And Curtis Rourke was the best quarterback in the MAC, but he's not a high-profile name. But Kurt Cignetti says, oh, I got to find a guy that can play. He's played a lot. What did he then go do? He goes against Josh Weaver now, coming out of TCU after being a three-year starter. So that's what it's all about. It's production performance and a large sample size, and it doesn't really matter what level it's at.
That's a great thing. He is the eternal colonel, Tom Lugenbill. Tom, we appreciate your thoughts, man. We love seeing you on TV, and I wanted to get your thoughts before the games happened.
You bet. No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Tom. Tom Lugenbill, ESPN, joining us here on the program. We'll react to some of that and look ahead to tonight in the college football playoff. Plus, we'll get back into the Titans coaching search coming up in just a little bit. It's Chase and Big Joe on this Thursday at the Omni, 102.5 in the game.